Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Thank you, Father. I have a favor of everybody. I have somebody special on the line. Hey, Dad, are you there?
I'm there.
Hey, we have people that want to say hi to you.
Hello, Liberty.
What'd you say?
Hello, Liberty.
Hey, we miss him, right? And we've been praying for him?
Yes.
Could we pray for him now?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for my dad. God, that wherever he is right now, I thank you your Holy Spirit is in that room, and we ask for his presence to fall in, around, and through him in Jesus' name. And I thank you that everything in his body that needs to be in line comes in line at the sound of my voice in Jesus' name. For your power's in that room, and we command his body to be what you told it to be. Healed, whole, set free in Jesus' name. Free of all pain, free of all sickness. And we thank you and glory to God that people are going to get saved today that come into that room at the miracles that are taking place. In Jesus' mighty name.
Yes.
Amen. Miracle. We love you.
I love you guys. I miss not being there.
You sound good. Doesn't he sound good?
Well, I'm getting gooder and gooder.
Amen. We'll be seeing you soon.
To fill in any questions that the church has, one, I have full confidence in Pastor Mercedes and Deborah and the leadership team that we've built. So I'm very thankful to them. Second of all, I quit preaching during a time because I was on drugs to handle the pain. That hadn't changed, but the pain built up a residual in my body, causing me to have a blockage. That's what they've been dealing with and getting rid of the blockage. So I'm doing just fine.
Yep.
I'll do better.
Yep.
And the blockage is going bye-bye because it happened.
Amen. We agree with you. We love you very much. Would you give it up for my dad? Love you, Daddy. We're praying for you. Thank you. He sounds good, eh? Do you have your Bibles? Well, pull those babies out, all right? Because we're going to be using them today. And I'm going to speak specifically through the King James Version just for teaching purposes. So pull it out. If you have it, just wave it like you're proud. Oh, yeah. I love it. Wow. That's the most Bibles I've seen in here, like real ones, in a good amount of time. Way to go. Look at that. Look at that. Elijah has the coolest Bible. I was looking at that. I'm like, that is awesome. Very cool. We had a few praise reports this week, and we've had 10 children's hospital calls, and that's a good amount for a week, including we have one today that Pastor Mike will be doing after service. But we also have a praise report that Love Omaha, after, you know, years, my dad has had that van, you know, and he just loved that, every bit and piece of it, yeah. But it came to a close. Its life had been lived well, and we said see you later. So thank you, Jesus. We got a new vehicle for Love Omaha. It's in the parking lot. It's on the street, parked today, I assume. It's parked on the street. Of course it is, Pastor Mike. Of course it's parked on the street. But I just wanted to say thank you to Pastor Mike because he has put so much effort and time. And this is not just a blessing for Love Omaha, but to honor you as well. We love you. Thank you. And all of the Love Omaha team, thank you for what you do. Okay, let's get into the word. I've got a lot to go through today. And normally I try to kind of do an icebreaker, but lately that just hasn't been happening. So we're not going to do it. Just bear with me. I think you know me enough to where we can just dive in today. If you weren't here last week, I hope that you will re-listen. We talked about how our church will be a church that has a song and how praise equals strength. And I'm going to build on that today of another pillar that I have talked on this maybe 5 or 6 years ago, just a small portion, and the Holy Spirit just, man, I've been just bouncing up and down all week to speak it to you. Thursday, as staff was in here, we were praying and worshiping, and I was like, man, it needs to be Sunday. We were all just ready. So I'm going to dive in today. I had been studying this word in the scripture, the word forever. Forever. I've been studying it for a long time. And there's a characteristic that is far more emphasized in scripture than I think a lot of people realized. We all know it, and we've heard it, and we've read it, and we've said it, but I don't think the church across the globe has really understood its significance and how powerful it is to my life and to yours. So the word of God, it says, endures forever. The Lord is King forever. His throne stands forever. And it says that his power and glory is forever. But there is a word that is far more emphasized. And that word is mercy. And when I thought of the word mercy, generally we're like, they need mercy, you know? Mercy. And that's kind of how we've thought about it. But everything God has ever done has stemmed from his mercy. And it would be one thing to say, we all would agree that God is God because he's powerful. I mean, he couldn't be God without being powerful. But he could be God and not be merciful. But everything he has ever done from the beginning of time has stemmed from his mercy. Everything. There's not one thing that has come from your heavenly Father that did not have mercy as the core root of where it came from, including his love. His love, it has the power. When you have a revelation of how much God loves you, it will shift things in your life. It really will. Miracles, signs, and wonders come from that revelation of how much God loves you. But God loves you because he's merciful. That love stems from his mercy. There's in Psalms 136, I'm going to read this to you. I think it's good. There's a lot, but I'm just going to go through them. So buckle up. Psalms 136, we'll start in verse 1. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now you're going to notice all of these, his mercy. It's going to say something about his character, but it's going to say because of his mercy. That exists because of his mercy. So it says, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. Are you catching a theme? To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him which divided the Red Sea and departs, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever, to him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever, to him which smote great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever. We could go all the way through to verse 26. And you're going to find this as a theme, that all of these things it's talking about since the very beginning of time, that everything God has ever done, ever will be, stems from his mercy. After every verse, it's tied to his mercy. It makes it clear that God's mercy serves as the character and integrity. That's where it comes from. You and I are here today because of his mercy. It says he is God and Lord forever because his mercies endures forever. He could be God and not be merciful. But he is God because he is merciful. In any other religion, you will never find mercy attached to their false god. Never. Never. It is the very character of your Father that everything he has and ever will do stems from his mercy. So we learn that God is not just God because he's powerful, but he's God because he's merciful. Are you thankful for his mercy today? His mercy is what creates all of his actions. They come out of his mercy. The word mercy means, I thought, if that's where everything is stemming from, I should probably figure out what that means. Anybody else? I'll tell you. The word mercy means kindness, loving kindness, goodness, faithfulness, love, and acts of kindness. I'll say those again. It means kindness, loving kindness, goodness, faithfulness, love, and acts of kindness. So we know in 1 John that God is love, but he is love because he is merciful. He is good because he is merciful. He is faithful because he is first merciful. His love comes out of his mercy. Second Chronicles 20, 1 through 20, a Judean king named Jehoshaphat is being attacked by the combined army of three kingdoms. And for those of you, my last name is Josephiak, and when I get calls from people, telemarketers or, you know, election, whatever, I can't tell you how many times they've called me Jehoshaphat. And I'm like, have you spelled it out? Have you spelled it out? Did you try? Did you try? Josephiak, Jehoshaphat. They add it. I'm like, did you look at the spelling? Did we even give it a try? No. So Jehoshaphat, every time I see it, I'm like, well, all right. Yep. I'm like, that's not me. Wrong number. I don't know who you were trying to get a hold of, but it ain't me. Okay. So he's being attacked by the combined army of three kingdoms, and he himself had an army of 1.5 million men. It's a big army. And this other army, though, was so big, he didn't even send his army out because it would have been a slaughter. So you think 1.5 million people, and the army is so big, he's like, we're not even going to, it would be a slaughter. So he calls the people together, and they begin to pray. And it says that the Spirit of God comes upon a young man, and he gives them these three things. Now, I hope that you will mark this in your Bible, and you will, we'll go through some of it, but I hope that you will go home and read this because it's powerful. But he gives them three things to do. And it says, number one, that the battle isn't theirs, it's the Lord's. Number two, that the next morning they're to go out and meet the enemy, and God would give them the victory. And number three, to not be afraid. So the next morning, Jehoshaphat gets his 1.5 million men army, and he does something very interesting. He takes all the praise and worship leaders, and he sends them out first. Now, we know how this story is going to end, or maybe you don't, I'm about to tell you, but let's just say America's going to war. We're like, let's get all the singers. We'll send them out first. That does not really seem like a good military strategy. It's like, hey, yes, all the people equipped for battle, let's send out the singers first. Let's get them all killed first. They stand out there just singing. Yeah, just singing. I mean, imagine that. If today President Trump was like, we're going to war, I need all of the people that sing. How many of you would be like, I don't sing. I've never sang. I cannot do it. I don't know how to form a word. I have never sang, and I am not the one you're looking for. You're telling me we're going out singing. I don't mean to question you, sir, but are you sure that that's what you want to go with? That doesn't seem like the normal thing to do, does it? You know, I am not equipped or, you know, that's not, it's beyond my pay grade to equip people for battle, hands-on combat. You know, Mr. Ralph, I would grab him in a heartbeat. I want him on my team. But even I would not think that that was the best idea. I wouldn't. But he gathers up all the praise and worship leaders, and they're going to meet an army 2 to 3 times bigger than them. And they put the singers out. Imagine those singers. Ugh. Just looking. Are you sure? And they're all like, he said you. We'll be here. We'll be here. I think we could all agree that what they needed in this moment, they needed deliverance, they needed protection, they needed wisdom, strength. So it would have been natural for them to say, hey, God, we need deliverance, protection, wisdom, we need strength for the battle. But when they go out, the Bible says they sing this simple song. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Did they need deliverance? Yeah. Did they need protection? Yeah. Did they need strength? Yes. Did they need wisdom? They did. But in their lives, they were taught this, and we have not been taught this in the church around the globe like we should. But the Bible says that yes, they needed all of those things, but all of those things they realized were wrapped up in one word, mercy. And the Bible says God set ambushes among those armies. Those armies turned on themselves and slaughtered themselves. They did not raise one sword. They did not lose one person. The Jewish army, they did not pull out one sword. They didn't lose one man. An army 2 to 3 times bigger than them. It took that amount of people, that 1.5 million army, 3 days to carry all the loot from the army that was killed back to their cities and back to their homes. 3 days it took them. Didn't lose one man. Why? Because of the mercy of God. And because they understood something about the mercy of God. That everything that they needed in the moment was wrapped up in his mercy. Exodus 25, in this chapter, God is giving Moses very detailed instructions on how to build the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a tent that they would bring with them, and it took the presence of God with them in the wilderness. We could start from the beginning of those instructions, but there is one part that I really want us to all see today, and it surrounds the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Ark were several things. Number one, the tablet of stones that Moses brought down the second time. The first time, he broke it. That's an important job. It's an important job. And he's like, sorry about that. My bad. So the second time, oh, this gives me so much hope. I'm like, you know, God can use me. I drop things often, and that makes me feel better. Colin's like, I don't know how your phone still works. I'm like, because it's blessed. It's blessed. He's like, you literally knock that thing on the ground hard all the time. And I'm like, I've got a good case. And I have spoken. It will last as long as I need it to. Merritt has literally on accident just chucked it down our hard floor stairs. I'm like, oh, Lord, please. As it goes. So it was the tablets of stone that Moses brought down the second time, that was one of the first things. Paul said those stones were tablets of death, because if you could not keep the law, you were cursed, and it was impossible to keep the law. The Bible says nobody could keep it. How would you like that? Hey, keep this law, nobody's ever done it. Nobody ever will do it. Good luck. You're like, wow, I feel strong, you know, I can do it. It was impossible to keep the law. Number two, Aaron's rod that budded. And a lot of people think that that rod is there to remind them of the miracle, but it wasn't. It was, the rod budded because of the rebellion of the nation of Israel, and they put it in there to remember so that they would not forget. Number three, some of the manna that fed them in the wilderness. All the written law, more than the Ten Commandments, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those were all in that ark too. And on the top, this is amazing. This is before Jesus went to the cross. This is before the covenant you and I are sitting in today. On the top of it, go with me, Exodus 25, verse 21. It says, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. So the top of the ark was the mercy seat. Isn't that amazing? So even under the law, which was harsh, so strict, so demanding, so impossible to keep, and even before Jesus did what he did, God put mercy as what he looked through all of that. That even under the law, when God looked at the writings of Moses, the Ten Commandments, the rod of rebellion, the manna that reminded him of their lack and trust in him, and when he looked at that, he looked at it through mercy. Even under the law, God exalted his mercy above the law. That's how much God loved you and I. That even under the law, he still looked through eyes of mercy. And yet, some of us today are sitting in such condemnation that God's so mad at you, so judgmental. You've messed it up. How many times have you messed it up? How many times have you missed the mark? How many times have you totally, not just missed the mark, but squandered it? And even under the law, before your covenant, which wiped all of it away, God still looked at us through eyes of mercy. If you're holding something against yourself, you're the only one doing it. God is not holding anything against you. there is no condemnation. It says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. It does not say Jesus is. He's not accusing you of anything. He paid for it. And when God looks at you, he sees his son. He sees you through eyes of mercy. He put mercy on top of the law. Psalms 145, 8 through 9, and we're going to really fly, says that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. Is that all you? And his tender mercies are over all of his works. Didn't say some, all of them. Say this with me. God is good to me. His tender mercies are over all of his works. Get ready to shout. Ephesians 2:10 says that you are his workmanship. Says before we just read that his tender mercies are over all of his works. And then it says you and I are his workmanship. So what is over you today? It is not condemnation. It is not shame. It is mercy and only mercy. His tender mercies are over your life. They're over that issue that you've been struggling with. They're over your marriage. They're over your kids. They're over your family. They're over your relatives. They're over your job. They're over your car. They're over whatever it is that you came in here today like, I need a touch from God. His mercy is over it. The judgment of God is not hanging over you. And until we grasp that, truly grasp it, you will not lay hold of a miracle in your life because you will always think God is withholding something from you. When you have a real revelation of God's love for you, it is so humbling because I know who I've been. I'm aware beyond anyone else what I've done. Where I've come short. And some of the biggest issues with forgiveness is not always forgiving someone else. It's forgiving you. It's letting it go. Out of all the women in the Bible, Jesus tells us to remember one woman, not his mother, not all these amazing women. He says, remember the woman who turned back and looked back with longing. She turned into a pillar of salt. She's in like two verses. Out of everybody in the Bible, he says, remember her. Because she was not looking at what God was going to do. She was looking at everything she was going to miss. She was looking back at her past with longing. Those were the good old days. Oh, I'm going to miss. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Judgment's not hanging over you. Mercy is. That'll change the way you wake up in the morning. Psalms 33:18 says, behold. Behold means to look and see. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. And fear there means it's not you're afraid of God. It means this, that you're living your life with a deep sense of accountability to him. You know, a lot of marriages around the world would be fixed if they had that mentality, that they lived their lives with a deep sense of accountability to God. Remember, everything God tells us to do is to make our lives better. It's not to steal your fun. It's not to be like, you know, you just get ready for a miserable life. No, it's to make your life better. I don't tell Merritt not to play with the oven to take his fun. I'm like, don't play with that. It'll make your life better. Trust me. See, things that we want to mess with, they look shiny, and like in the moment they would suffice, but they will rob from you. And anything that God tells you to stay away from in his word, it is not so that you are miserable. It is so that you live a life of fullness. It's to make your life better. Psalms 33:18, it says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. He tells us to hope in his mercy. And hope means to have a positive expectation. I have a positive expectation that everywhere I go, His mercy is going to be on top of me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Have a positive expectation about that. When you go into your job and they're maybe deciding if you're going to get a promotion, or they're laying off a bunch of people, or they're deciding if they're going to move you, and you're getting riled up about it, go, no. His mercy is going with me. No matter what happens, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. Psalms 23, 1 through 6 says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, I hope that you got that today. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow you. A lot of us in the room, and myself included, have felt a lot of things are following me, and it didn't feel like goodness and mercy. Stupid decisions, wrong thinking, memories of something traumatic. You need to get a hold of this verse and put a positive expectation on it. No, I expect goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to talk about that in the next few weeks. You know, I know I could pass the mic in this room and everybody has a story. Everybody. Every single person in this room has a story, and a story that matters to God. We talked about that last week, how He even holds your teardrops in bottles, not just because He cares, but because He's looking at that as, I'm gonna make the enemy pay for every one of those. But we know we could pass the mic around. And all of us came from different backgrounds. Some of us grew up in church, some of us didn't. Some of us had great parents, some of us didn't. Some of us went through some really difficult things. But you know what each of us have in common here today? We're all under His mercy. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Everywhere you go, His mercy will follow you, not because of how good you are, but because of how good He is. You can pray that over your kids. Maybe you're nervous about them going to school. Maybe they have some friends you don't like, bad influence. You can have a positive expectation because of that verse, because of that promise. No, goodness and mercy will follow my child everywhere that they go, and they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's part of your inheritance. It's a guarantee. Surely. That doesn't mean sometimes. Surely, it's a guarantee. He's not going to change His mind and go, you know what, that was a bad day. Sorry. No mercy today. No, every day. Surely goodness and mercy. Ephesians 2:4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith he loved us. Your God has infinite supply, but it says here he's rich in mercy. He never runs out. It is in abundance. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, we're also going to talk about that part in the next few weeks. The foundation of your salvation is his mercy. The foundation of his love for you is his mercy. Matthew 9:27 says, and when Jesus departed, two blind men followed him. Now, two blind men coming after Jesus, what is the thing that you think that they're asking for? Yeah, we would all agree. They're going to Jesus, they need something. What could it possibly be? And this has meant so much to me, and it's changed the way that I approach God. Verse 27, it says, and Jesus departed, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, make me see. No, have mercy on us. They asked for mercy. They understood something that after today, each of us are going to understand, that God heals not because we ask, but he heals because he's merciful. The miracle you need today is yours, not because of the lack of what you have. It's because he's merciful, and he's rich in mercy. Verse 28 says, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? God wanted to see where they were at. He wants to see where you're at. There's not a miracle in the room that you can't have. Nothing's off limits. But what do you believe of your God? What are you expecting from him? He will meet you at your level of expectation, so I better be expecting big. Do you believe I'm able to do this? They said unto him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. There's more to that story, but what did he ask for them to have faith in? His mercy. See, religion has taught us to think of God's mercy as something only really, really bad sinners need. You know those people in the drug cartels, wow, they need the mercy of God. Oh, those ones running sex trafficking, oh, they need the mercy of God. Only the really, really bad sinners. Yes, they need his mercy, but so do I, and so do you. It's people like me that crucified Jesus. We like to think back in the Bible like we would be one of the ones. No, don't do it, but it's people like you and I that crucified him, and his mercy is why he did it. He looked through eyes of mercy, and I'm so grateful that he did, that it's looking at sin as one thing's worse than the other. It's not. It's all evil. It's all from the pit of hell, and his mercy covered it. You're not sitting by somebody who's a worse sinner than you. We all are the worst sinners. We all crucified him, and his mercy covered set each of us free from something we couldn't have done on our own. Everything in your life that you will ever need is going to stem from the mercy of God. And you couldn't have earned it, and you can't unearn it. His power, his healing, his love, his forgiveness, his gentleness, his compassion, his provision, all stems from his mercy. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here in just a moment. Or you can come up now, whatever you would prefer. It's easier. You can get up there. Mark 10, 46 says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus." This is a guy sitting and begging, blind. Can you imagine? Put yourself there. Verse 47 says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, heal me.' 'No, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Isn't it just like people that when you need a touch from God and you want your life to get better, they tell you, "Be quiet, shh, shh. You're drawing attention to yourself, shh." I had a relative that none of you know once say to me, "Well, what makes you so special that you think," and I won't say what they said. And I said, "Oh, I expect a lot out of life. I expect a lot out of life." Shh, be quiet. It's important today that instead of silencing and retreating, you do what this man did. It says he got louder. He got louder. He cried out for more mercy. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Jesus was surrounded by a crowd. You think it was quiet? This man's calling out for mercy. People all around were calling things out. But he called out for mercy, and mercy responded. He called out to the very core and character of who Jesus was, and Jesus responded. He called out for mercy, and mercy heard it, and he responded. What this guy was saying was, "Jesus, be Jesus. And today, I don't know what it is in your life that you need from God. Some of you know you could get your miracle if you just believed for it. If you would just work with it. Faith is not the knowledge of knowing. If knowledge without being used corrupts your faith. To have the knowledge of it and not put any action towards it like you believe it will corrupt you. Some of you know that God wants to give you exactly what you need if you would just ask and act like you're a son and daughter of the King. If you would get past why you shouldn't have it, the words of people that told you you'll never have it, and go, "God, you said, so I call out, Jesus, be Jesus." Some of you, your life's going to get better today. You're going to be like this guy. People were telling him, "Be quiet, be quiet. That's too much, that's too much, that's too much. You're expecting too much. I challenge everybody in the room that no matter, even if you're expecting big, you're not expecting enough. God can. God did. Which means you can. You will. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith. Faith in what? Faith in the mercy of God. Faith in the character of his Father has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. There's two parts there. You receive your miracle and you don't go back to where you were at before. It says he followed him. The mercy of Jesus changes who you are. Look at the power of mercy in someone's life. They called out for mercy and they could see. Luke 17, and we're going to close with this, and we're going to do something really powerful. Verse 17 and 11, it says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They needed cleansing, but they asked for mercy. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, I have lived my life on this verse, that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went. My mom told me this story when I was young. And there would be moments I was very sick. And I would go, as I go, I am healed. It says that as they went, they were healed. So as I go today, I can't tell you how many times I've got up here to preach, and it was as I go, I am healed. As I go, I am healed. My actions had to go along with my faith, which meant when I felt like staying in bed, I decided to do the opposite. Some of us are going to have to do the opposite of what everything in you is telling you to do. Would you bow your head and close your eyes today? First, I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you've never accepted Jesus, this God of mercy, maybe you've heard him as a God of judgment. That's not who he is. It's not who he is. This is the truth. That God loves you. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And if it was only you, and if it was only you that would have crucified him, he would have done it gladly and willingly. That's how much he loves you. And if you've never accepted him as Lord and as Savior of your life, would you just raise your hand? I don't want to miss anybody. Wow, I see your hand. Okay. Anyone else? All right, church. We have an opportunity to stand next to them and to say this. Somebody said it loud with you. You're going to say it loud with them. Would you help me with this? Say, dear Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior. I know I'm a sinner, and I'm exchanging that for what you did on the cross. You paid the price, and I accept the free gift of your mercy. I am now a child of God. And the Holy Spirit that you sent here to walk with me, I accept him. And I'm going to work with him. And I'm going to speak in my heavenly language. from this moment forward, I am a child of God. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give them a round of applause? Praise you, God. All of heaven is rejoicing for you. Now, for the rest of us in here, we're going to do something. Would you stand? Yes.
Spirit of the Lord is saying right now, freshness. Do you not perceive what I am doing? Across the land, I am going to bring a new dew, a fresh rain upon my people, and it will settle on my people. And if you want it, you can receive it. But this is not just for you. This is not for you to store up. This is not for you to hold back, but it is yours to bring forth unto all the nations. And all the nations will see my word going forth, a freshness that no one else has ever seen before. It is now. Perceive it. Receive it. Use it. Go forth. By the Spirit of the Lord.
Wow. Thank you, Father. Wow. That God would stop everything to tell you that. We did a song last week. We're going to do it now. And I want you to get a visual of something in your life that feels dead or needs a touch from God. And we're going to sing this song, and I want you to start declaring his mercy over it. Say it by name. We're going to sing this. Your faith is going to get in line. And then after, I'm going to have the worship team come down, and we're going to have a praise party. Cassidy sent me a song this morning, and I almost was late to church because I couldn't stop worshiping in my room. And I'm going to say something after this song that I know is prophetic for many people in this church. So stick around. But we're going to sing this, ignite your faith. Who cares what you look like? Do you need a touch from God? You're not going to get it by being quiet. Be like this guy, get a little louder, declare mercy over it, and then we're going to do something really cool at the end.
Come on, it's okay to get loud in this place, amen? It's okay to get a little rowdy.
Saturday was silent, surely it was through. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? Disappointment, the sun is empty too. Since when has it possible ever stopped you? And this is a praise, make a dead man walk again. Hope in the grave is coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of a dry bones rattling. Pentecostal fire, stirring something new. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon. Resurrection power runs in my veins too, yeah. I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is a praise, make a dead man walk again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming up. this is the sound of a dry bones rattling. Yeah. Come on, let them hear you this morning. Who knows our God is able? Come on. My God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that He wants to. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah if there's anything that He can't do. Just ask the stone that was rolled at the tomb in the garden what happens when God says to move. I feel Him moving it now. I feel Him doing it now. I feel Him doing it now. Do it now. Do it now. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is a praise, make a dead man walk again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of a dry bones rattling. Yeah. Oh, we worship You. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Oh, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy, for Your promise. Oh, we thank You. Thank You, Jesus.
Declare mercy. We're going to sing this song, and I want you to have the biggest praise party you've ever had in your life. This is what I did today. There's a song, one of the lyrics, I've never heard it before, but it said, I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in. That's what we're going to do. This morning as I was listening to this, I looked at in a part of my room where I started to have a miscarriage. And I remember being on the phone with my mom and having to call Colin to come right back home so we could go to the ER. And I was bleeding. I could not stand. And I went there today hearing that. And I went right back to that spot and I started just jumping on it, standing on it. And said, I'm going to dance on the grave. I once lived that. I don't live there anymore. I don't live there anymore. Come on, you don't live there anymore. You don't live there anymore. And some of you need to get a little excited about that and dance a little bit on the grave that the enemy tried to put you in and let God rattle you up and realize, I don't live there anymore. I don't live there anymore. When you need to say that, I don't live there anymore. I don't live in depression anymore. I don't live in bondage anymore. I don't live there anymore.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.